In the book of Psalms 92, I think I'll start out from there. Or let me start out from Genesis 26:26. Is a year of supernatural manifestation. Is a month of supernatural increase. It takes the children of God to be supernatural. What distinguishes God from his creation is the fact that it doesn't only exist in the realm his creation exists. He never ceases to exist in the spirit realm. And that's why we are made to understand that God is spirit. And if you are going to worship him, then you have to rise up to that level. You must worship him in the spirit if it's going to be meaningful at all to him. And if you don't have the capacity to worship in the spirit, you will not be told to worship in the spirit. So in other words, we always have the choice of doing things carnally or spiritually. We can sing carnally, at the same time sing spiritually. We can dance carnally and dance spiritually. We can talk carnally and talk spiritually. We can think carnally and think spiritually. We can do things carnally and do things spiritually. We have the capacity. And every moment of your life, you will have to choose how you want to express yourself. But you see, to keep on expressing yourself carnally, the Bible says it's death. You can only express yourself carnally to link up with the carnal realm. I'm not talking sin now. I'm in the world, so though I'm a spirit being, I live in a body. So I have to relate with everybody in a body. Okay? But that does not negate the fact that I'm still a spirit being. And so even how I relate in the flesh is controlled by the fact that I know who I am. And that's why you don't need to preach too much to me about do not conform. Because I know I don't belong here. I know who I am. I know from where I have come. I know whose I am. And so when I'm relating with those who are from another kingdom, I don't have to become. So you can be in the world, you don't have to become the world. No! I'm talking supernatural. The realm we're talking about is more real than what we see. So God is spirit. But you are a spirit being too. How? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul was talking. Your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. So you are spiritual, soul, your body. You find in the book of Daniel, you find the equivalent in the book of Daniel. He's talking about his mind within his body and his head. You see the same thing. So you are a tripartite being. You are a three-part person. You are spirit. See, once God releases a soul, that soul can never is indestructible. Write it down. You see, what do you mean? You see that you live after this realm. You see that soul lives 1,000 years plus in hell? Or 10,000 of 10,000 of 10,000? When one finger, we born for 1,000 years. Or you live perpetually in the bliss of God. The soul is indestructible. That's why when they bury, they say, ash to ash, light in come. It runs to its maker. So depending on what that person has chosen, when he says, it's like this way, or this way, or this way. But you cannot, a soul cannot be destroyed. Jesus was given an analogy, he wasn't even giving a parable, he was teaching a real stuff. When I talk about Lazarus and the rich man, you remember? Lazarus was in the presence of the rich man, was in hell. And they could still communicate. If anybody doesn't know, this should let you know that you will live forever. But you live forever in the bosom of your Father. And that's why you cannot afford to do just anything with this, your human vessel. Everybody is capable of everything. But we are restrained and constrained by the love of Christ. Like dogs, like animals. Any man here can look at any woman want to sleep. Any man, woman can want to sleep with any man. But why aren't you doing that? You are a human being. You have dignity. Otherwise, we'll become like dogs. In the same way, you are a spirit being. You can't just do anything. You have spiritual dignity. Can you see that supernatural is not a strange thing? We are just telling you who you are. We are not introducing something new. You are a spirit being. Manifest. The whole essence of his coming and dying and giving you all his power, his name, and everything, so that you can manifest who you are. Genesis 26. Then Abimelech, verse 26, came to Isaac from Gerar. Ha! I feel good in my spirit, man. Now people will seek you out. They will seek you out. What people kill themselves to get, they will use it. They will carry it to look for you. Can't you see? We are talking the supernatural. The supernatural. Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me? You hate me and have sent me away from you." But they said, We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, "Let there be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm." So they were now intimidated by his posture. His standing scared them. Why? The Lord is with you. Isaac wasn't the one saying it. It was the heathen that were saying, we can see the hand of God on this man. You know, that's your testimony this year. In the name of Jesus. That's my testimony this year. In the name of Jesus. But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, "Let there be an oath between us and let us make a covenant that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace." They heard what they said. You are now, can you read it? You are what? Now the blessed of the Lord. Can you help me turn to someone? Because that's my duty this morning. See, hear what the Lord is saying. You are now the blessed of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord. You are now the blessed of the Lord. I feel the fire in my hand. Believe me, I do. But see, they saw something. You know the story. This was a man that was running from famine. This was a man that knew that it was heaven's focus. Heaven needed men that would carry their grace through the land. And Abraham had just passed, and here was Isaac. I was telling them in the first service, you don't find 3-4 chapters on Isaac, only one. You find quite a lot on Abraham, quite a lot on Jacob, but Isaac. Isaac was the type that said the man was too dull, Jerry. It's too dull. But Abraham was larger than life. What about Jacob? Oh my goodness, his aggression was enough to even to sell him. It was everywhere. But look at this Isaac. But there are lessons here. The man was a gentle seed that runs deep. He knew he was the covenant cutting edge. He was the covenant connector between heaven and this generation. He knew. He knew some things that people didn't know that he knew. And when he would move around, or when he would run for famine, or run in famine towards Gerar and towards Egypt, he was only trying to do what his predecessor did. This man was smart. And to let you know the level of his smartness, fine, he was following the footsteps of his father, and God said, "Do not leave the land." And he stood. He obeyed. Man, he displayed some spiritual intelligence. He knew who he was. And to further go on, he looked like, well, if God said to be here, then it's his responsibility to sustain me. What do I do if I stay? I plant. So he planted. The man was smarter than you could ever think. He was the smartest in his generation. And of course, the result was obvious. And the Lord blessed him. And the conditions will be great. Woo! And the greatness will not stop. Some are waiting to see when you are going to crash. They don't know that you are operating the covenant. And that what they see that is disturbing them can never be truncated. That's covenant. This man is far from us, but he is getting bigger by the second. If this man chooses to fight us, we are in trouble. He ran to us for help, but we need his help now. That sounds like my God. If you lock the covenant child of God in a prison, by the following morning, you are the prisoner. I'm talking covenant. So they came to him. So what did they see? We see the hand of God on your life. You are now the blessed of the Lord. You know why? Can you turn to Psalm 92 quickly? From verse 10. I want you to see some things.
Psalm 92 verse 10. "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn."
Please wait. Can you hear the way a covenant child of God talks? "But my horn," again,
"shall thou exalt."
Like, "shall thou exalt."
Like the horn of a unicorn.
In other words, he exalted it yesterday. He will still exalt it today. God does not leave you at the same level. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. What is horn there? Your authority, your dominion, your power, your platform of assignment, your place of glory. I mean that God has put you, remember, you don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel. You put on lamps, your lampstand, your high places, where your feet has been made like the highest feet, and you are walking confidently. I'm talking of a supernatural process. Because, hey, the process of planting, wetting, soil, good seed, water, heat, but it wasn't working anymore for anybody because there was no water. But whether there was water or not, God that created the water and the sand and the seed, he's still alive. That's why I say the experts of the 90s, the booming era, where are they today? Some of them have committed suicide. Because the God factor cannot be removed. And that's why we are a different set of people. So I'm talking supernatural. They saw something. See the secret. My horn shall you end. For my horn shall be what? Exalted like the horns of the wild unicorn. The next line.
I shall be anointed.
Oh, can you see the secret? I shall be anointed with what? Can you see the secret? Why would David be saying this? My horn shall be exalted. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. No wonder the man stood out in the Old Testament. I'll show you it's occurring in the New Testament as we go on. But you see, this is the heritage of the covenant children of God. They know something that their generation don't know. What was he saying? Morning by morning, these verses are new. He will exalt me today again. He's my shield, my glory, and the lifter. There are certain things you must know. Yes, God will use men. But if you make men your God, they will disappoint you 10 times. So don't you ever let men that are helping you now become an arbiter on your neck so you'll be denying your God. No way. But my horn you will exalt, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Go ahead, man.
Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies.
Automatically.
And my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against
me. Automatically.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
Did you hear that?
He shall grow like a cedar.
Wait a minute. Does that sound like increase? When God exalts my horn and I'm anointed, I will flourish like the palm tree. Before then, all my detractors, the anointing will deal with them. The righteous shall do what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. How? Like the palm tree. That was the knowledge of David.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord.
Are you hearing?
Shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Can you hear David?
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Ah, yeah.
They shall be fat and flourishing.
Oh my goodness.
To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Can you see how David tied it? You want to see the uprightness and the authenticity of my God? Watch me flourish. That was what David was saying. Simply put, watch me flourish. But what's the secret? He's the one exalting me. He's the one that brings the increase. He's the one that's anointing me daily with oil. He said, even in old age, what naturally will bring a truncation will not truncate you. You're too quiet for me now. I say you're too quiet for me. So there's a miraculous conception taking place. You have passed the age. But so that God's name will be glorified. Yeah. And the conception is this year. In the name of Jesus. Somebody has to wait for that before they begin to expect their miracles. So because of them, your own miracle has started. Yeah. Some will never give their lives until they hear you give birth. You are about to. Some things are happening already. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say supernatural manifestation. Whether you have womb or no womb has nothing to do with it. Whether your tubes are blocked or not blocked, they have nothing to do with it. Whether your husband's sperms are ordinary water. When the creator that gives increase says, Is it not in 1 Corinthians? I say, Paul may be planting. I say, I may be planting. Apollos may be watering. If God does not give the increase. But you see, Abimelech says something. He said, we have seen that the Lord is with you. The scripture I want to refer to here is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And it reads, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we find Paul saying the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is all you need. David said, I shall be anointed. One verse said, I have been anointed. Praise the Lord. Paul says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit will be yours perpetually. Wasn't that what Jesus was saying when he says, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. I will be with you all the way. He guaranteed you his presence. Wasn't that what Moses was fighting for in Exodus chapter 33? How come you say we should go and you say you won't come with us? You say you should go and possess and you come. No, if you don't come with us, we are not going. It's your presence that makes the difference. It's your year of supernatural increase. Or month of supernatural increase. Your year of supernatural manifestation. In the name of Jesus. Increase. 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 Where the world does not expect it. Medical sciences will query and query. They will make you a research topic. Because they won't be able to explain what is happening on the inside of you. This year. In the name of Jesus. Say supernatural increase. Come on, say it. Say it again. Say supernatural manifestation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let me talk about this Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was something that was strange that kept on happening. God created everything and then created a home. The idea of making a home was a divine idea. So before you begin to say, I have a home, it was heaven. It was out of heaven. So he created a home for him. And he said it was not good, so he made her. You know, everybody can do anything, but there are some people that cannot do anything. So don't compare yourself with everybody. Then God chooses you. He chooses you for something special. Remain special. If you want to be less special, God doesn't have patience for those who want to be less special. That's the unfortunate thing. You don't need to pay him anything to make you the head. He just loves you, just makes you the head. If you now say, I don't want, when he withdraws, you don't go back to where you are. But you have found favor with God. That's why he has chosen you. And there's no stopping of his grace, no stopping of his mercy. There's no stopping of the height you can attain in life and in heaven. But the constraint is here in the physical. Well, the Greek word for fellowship here is koinonia. Of course, we all know that. And it literally means communion, communications, distribution, joint participation. Intimacy. Our intimacy. Koinonia has two wonderful applications. So you can imagine what it says. It says now, it says that the communion of the Holy Ghost will be yours perpetually. It says that the communication with the Holy Ghost and with the Godhead will be yours perpetually. It says that distribution, whatever exists in the Godhead, is not kept back from you. You see why miracles happened a lot in the life of Jesus? That's why before long, I'm talking of this year, people here will be in the marketplace and miracles, they'll be laying hands. And people say, look, what are these ones? They say, they'll be looking at the other way. What are you, why, what's strange? What are they teaching your own church? That is the believer. Say, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God will be what? Made manifest to what the dead principalities and powers you'll be teaching them. When they see you and see you move, say, wow, not your pastor, you, of course, your pastor, but much more, you. Check the early church, joint participation, intimacy. So he said three areas, let's just stress three areas. So one, active participation, active. So the following and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is not one way traffic, it is a sharing of wills, feelings, and knowledge. You see what I mean? So what my father does not want, I won't do. He knows he has given me the capacity as a man to do. But because he wouldn't do it, I won't do it. And I'm receiving grace. I said, no, I won't do it. God help me, I won't do it because he won't do it. But what he will do, and nobody is doing, I said, give me grace, I want to do it. Because nobody will help me. It's not natural to do, but you are doing it. Help me do. You are different. And you know why it will be possible? Because you are in a communion with the Holy Spirit. You talked of intimacy. That communion is what only you and your husband share. Only you and your wife share. Everybody knows about sex. Yes. Which woman has not slept before the man? Which woman has not slept before? No. Not husband and wife. Not you and your husband. Not you and your wife. I'm talking of knowing, spiritual knowledge. Knowing, not laying with. I'm talking of what happens between you, your spirit man, and the Holy Ghost. So when he says you share knowledge, you share will. Compare your knowledge to that of the Holy Spirit. God never intended that you live your life solely. Check the Bible over. Even in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He always came to them every evening for what? Fellowship. And at that time, they ruled everything. They named everything. They gave everything. Everything got his nature from them. Then they submitted their will to the devil's will. And when God came, they fled the presence of God. Can you see that what made the difference before the fall was the presence of God? They had lost it, so they fled. And to make it more interesting, God said, now please throw them out of the garden. Somebody will progress this year. People will first think it's ordinary until they see that it is supernatural. You will cover lands and areas that naturally cannot be covered.